O you who were afflicted.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So we're picking it up at the 19th verse, Colossians chapter 1. Remember that false teachers taught that fullness, or pleroma in the Greek, was the experience of someone who achieved oneness with God. You achieve oneness with God eventually, somewhere down the road, as you pass through the seven cosmic spheres and you draw closer and closer to God through knowledge and through rituals, that you would one day experience oneness with God, and then you would have pleroma, fullness. So that was the Gnostic philosophy that was infiltrating the Colossian church, along with legalism. And remember, we said that they said that Jesus was very important, as many religious groups might say today. Jesus was very important. He was a great prophet, great man, taught great things, but he was only one step in the journey. He was only one step on their journey to be one with God. So he was great, he was important, he was a great prophet, great teacher, but only one step on the journey. And of course, Paul is writing this letter to refute that nonsense. This is carried through over the years. This is deeper life. I heard this in a different way, not the Gnostic end of it, but I heard it in a different way when I first became a Christian. They would present to you a deeper life. You need to do certain things to have a deeper life with God. And they would always teach deeper life and so forth. And you needed to do certain things, and you needed to be a certain way, and you needed to fast, and you needed to go through different things in order to be closer to God. And they were always, the cry was always, you know, be closer to God, move closer to God. We need to get close to God. And this was in the early years of my Christianity. That's what I heard. And this is the deeper life philosophy, and it's still alive and well today out there in Christendom. The deeper life always seeks more of God, and that sounds very noble. I just want more of you, Lord, more of you, more of you. And it sounds very good, but it's an emotional feeling is what they're talking about. I want to feel more of you. I want to somehow feel God. And so that falls under the category of sight as opposed to faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And emotional feelings fall under the category of sight, not faith. And seeking more of God, although it sounds very noble and very good, you'll see in Paul's estimation, it was foolishness. In verse 18, we're told that Jesus is given the preeminence, first place in everything. That he is not just one of seven spheres that we needed to pass through in order to get to God. He's not just one step on a stairway to climb into his presence, but he is actually the preeminent one. He is the one who is everything. He is first placed in all things. Meaning, in verse 18, that there is nothing more important to us than Jesus Christ. And then verse 19, he concludes that thought by saying, it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all the playroom or our fullness should dwell. So he takes first place. He is the most important thing, and in him all fullness dwells. Now, the Father is pleased to deposit all that he is, all that God is found in Jesus Christ. And, of course, the reason for that is Christ is God. He is the Word made flesh. He is the manifestation of God in the flesh. And all that God is, and everything that God is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ doesn't contain 90% of God. He doesn't contain 95% of God. 100% of everything that God is in Christ. He is God. So all power, all wisdom, all grace, all provision, all mercy, all forgiveness, everything that you could possibly think of, everything is in Christ. There is nothing beyond that. There is nothing to say, well, now that I've gone through Christ, now I need to somehow get to God to get something more. You have Christ, you have it all. So everything is in Christ, everything is found in Christ by the design of God himself. So Jesus is all in all, and there is nothing else. So if I am in him, then I dwell in the place of pleroma, or fullness. I am in the place of fullness. I am in the place of the pleroma of God. Everything that God is in Christ. And then the last thing to be put in him is me. I got saved. And God put me inside of him in this place, in this sphere where the fullness of God is dwelling. And so for the Gnostics to say that he's just one step in seven, he's just a good man, a good prophet, a good teacher on the way to God, is absolute foolishness. Because Christ is it. And it is not a deeper life that I'm searching for. I don't need more of God if I have Christ. Christ has me and I have him, and there's nothing more to be had. Except what these teachers tell you is some kind of an emotional experience where you feel closer, where you feel the tingles. I'm so close to God now, I've got goosebumps. But that's what they're talking about, a deeper life. Drawing near is a very biblical concept. We have it in James 4:6, and we have it in Hebrews 10:22. Drawing near has nothing to do with proximity. Drawing near doesn't mean that God is over on one end of the room and I'm on the other end of the room and I'm drawing closer to him. Drawing near means I'm tuning in. My heart, my mind, my thoughts, I'm tuning into God. I'm in him already, and he's in me already, and you're not going to get any closer than that. But I'm tuning into, when I draw near, it's because I'm tuning into him. I'm not shortening the distance between us, because there is no distance to be shortened. But I am drawing near in the sense that my heart and my mind has wandered, been distracted, gotten away, gone down the road of other things, the cares of this life and so forth, and I got to get back to thinking about God and putting my mind and heart on God again. I'm drawing near. I'm getting my mind refocused again. But it's not shortening the distance between us, because he never left me nor forsook me. And I am with him always. I'm in him, he's in me. You don't get any closer than that. He abides in me and promises to be there for all eternity, never to leave me. So that's as close as we'll ever get, and that's the closeness we'll have for all eternity. Our experience is a little different because we're drawing near, we're tuning in, we're focusing in, and sometimes we get distracted. Lots of times we get distracted. But every finished work believer knows that he has everything in Christ. That's part of the beauty of the finished work. I've got everything in Jesus Christ. And life, the life that I live on earth, is an opportunity to experience him. I have everything in him, and then my life is an opportunity to experience Christ while I'm here on earth. So, it pleased the Father that in him all fullness, all the pleroma of God should dwell in him. And that's where God is found. And by him, by Jesus Christ, in verse 20, to reconcile all things to himself, God, by Christ. Whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the cross, through the blood of his cross. So by him he reconciles all things, by Jesus Christ. It pleased the Father to reconcile the lost through him. Everyone that's lost, it pleases the Father to reconcile them to himself through Christ. In other words, people that are lost, they're going to be reconciled to God, but only through Jesus Christ. That is what pleases the Father. And the means of doing that is, as he said in this verse, the means of doing that is the blood atonement upon the cross. So through the blood atonement on the cross, those who are lost, and that was you and I at one time, and many more in the world today, will find reconciliation to the Father through Christ because of the blood of that cross. In the Old Testament, various sacrifices were made by with animals. Animals were brought into the temple or to the tabernacle, and they were brought in involuntarily. Tied a little rope around their neck, and you dragged them in there. They didn't volunteer. They didn't show up at the temple door knocking, saying, "I'd like to volunteer to be the sacrifice today." Animals didn't do that. They were led in by their owners, and they were brought in, and they were sacrificed, and their blood was shed. And that, of course, was a picture. The altar was the altar of brass, which spoke of judgment. And it was a picture of the blood sacrifice put upon the altar for sin. In the New Testament, of course, we have the once and for all offering in Hebrews 10:10 of Jesus Christ, who did not need to be led in there with a rope. If there was any binding or cords around him, it was the cords of love. And because of love, he volunteered himself to be the sacrifice. And he came to the cross voluntarily and said, "No man takes my life, but I give it." And no man could take his life. 12 legions of angels could be called in a quarter second to rescue him at any moment that he chose. He chose to give his life for those who were lost, namely you and me. And that he voluntarily did it on the cross and made the blood sacrifice, foreshadowing throughout the Bibles, foreshadowed throughout the Bible since back in Genesis, when we first got a clue to the blood sacrifice, when God brought animal skins to cover Adam and Eve after they failed and sinned in the garden. In order to get those skins off the animal, they had to take the animal's life. Animals don't give up their skin easily. You got to kill them to get their skins. But in Genesis 3:21, God brought the skins to be a covering for Adam and Eve, who had failed and sinned in the garden, and to replace the fig leaves that they were sowing and putting on themselves. So Adam and Eve were putting fig leaves on themselves, but God brought coats of skin that were the product of a blood sacrifice. The fig leaves are better understood as self-defense mechanisms. The fig leaves of self-defense. Excuses, blaming others.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solus Roofing Contractors, Incorporated, Solus Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or